Book 2, Salamandastron. Chapter 27. Skipper hobbled into the dining room at Brockhall. He sat down with a sigh of relief, rubbing his tail and paws. Fortunata and Mask were clearing away the lunchtime dishes. The sly vixen nodded towards Skipper and winked at her companion. Mask looked slightly bemused, but Fortunata winked again as she sauntered over to the otter.
"What seems to be the trouble, sir?"
she asked solicitously.
"Is it an old injury?"
Skipper shook his head and continued rubbing.
"No, it's these pains are getting me paws and tail. The minute I come out of the water, or even after a rain shower these days, it starts throbbing right into me old bones. Oh, the pains, matey. It's agony."
Fortunata crouched in front of Skipper.
"Here, allow me to take a look, sir. I'm a healer of pains."
First, she stroked the fur on Skipper's paws. Then she probed and tested with her claws. The otter put on a fine display of anguish.
"Ow! Ooh!"
he exclaimed.
"That's it. Oh, right there. Oh, you touched the very spot."
The vixen stroked her whiskers, looking very professional.
Yes, I think you've got a touch of the stiffeners,"
she told him. Skipper expressed concern.
"The stiffeners? Float me tail, is that bad?"
Fortunata shook her head gravely.
"It will be if you let it get any worse. I've seen otters spent double with the stiffeners. Very, very painful indeed."
"Can you cure me, Bessemtail?"
he asked. Fortunata leaned against the table.
"Feverview, wormwood, extract of nightshade leaf to stop the pain. That's what you need. Plus, of course, a few other items that I don't normally carry with me."
"But you can get them?"
Skipper asked hopefully. Fortunata smiled at Mask.
"Well, I suppose so, though I'll have to go into the woods to gather them. What do you say, Patchcoat?"
Mask had caught on to the scheme.
"Right, Bessemtail,"
he said.
"We'd better go out into the woodlands and hunt for the stuff. After all they've done for us here, it would be a shame to watch this poor otter suffer when we can help him."
Fortunata kept her voice light and casual.
"Of course, we'd need a couple of helpers, creatures that aren't needed for other duties. What about those two little hedgehogs? I'll bet they'd love a romp in the woods."
Spike and Posy, disguised as Ferdy and Cogs, were eager to help. Goody Stickle wiped their snouts with their apron corner.
"Now mind you don't go a-bothering the healers,"
she warned them.
"Behave yourselves like two little gentle-logs."
Fortunata patted them gingerly on their heads.
"Oh, they'll be just fine with old Patchcoat and me, Mom."
The healer and her assistant strode off in the wake of the two small hedgehogs, who scampered playfully ahead. Mask hitched the medicine bag around his neck as he trudged along with the vixen.
"Here, Bessemtail, what are you up to now?"
he asked.
"I thought we were supposed to escape back to Katia and tell this queen of yours where the woodlanders are hiding out."
Fortunata ducked an overhanging branch.
"That's exactly what we're going to do, Patchcoat. But there's no harm in bringing back a couple of escaped prisoners while we're about it. You wait and see. It'll be an extra feather in both our caps. Though I'd hate to be one of those young hedgehogs when Zarmina has them back under her claws."
Mask felt a cold hatred for the cruel vixen, but long practice had taught him to keep a straight face. Fortunata watched the two little ones tussling happily in the loam.
"We'll get the credit for them, eh, mate?"
"You'll get what's coming to you today."
Mask's voice had sunk to a grim whisper. Fortunata only half heard her strange companion.
"Eh? What's that?"
Mask looked around him.
"I said I'm not sure if this is the way."
"Oh, no. Don't tell me we're lost,"
Fortunata groaned. Mask pointed to a fork in the trail.
"No, wait a moment. It's one of these two paths. Listen, I'll take this path to the right and keep an eye on those hedgehogs. You take the one to the left. If it's the real trail, you'll come across a fallen beech. Give me a call. If I find the beech on my trail, I'll give you a yelp."
Fortunata parted from them, calling out to the hedgehogs.
"Be good, little ones. Stay with Uncle Patchcoat. I'll see you later."
When the vixen was gone, Mask sat on a chestnut stump. He gave Spike and Posy a sugared hazelnut each.
"You're not really our Uncle Patchcoat, are you?"
Posy giggled. Mask patted her gently.
No, I'm not, and Besomtail isn't your aunt. But I don't think we'll be seeing her again.
Spike stared gravely at the otter.
Can we call you Mr. Mask again?
Mask gave them his canteen to drink from. He wiped nut fragments from the face with his false tail.
Not until we're safe back at Brock Hall tonight,
he said firmly.
Pretend for now that I really am your Uncle Patchcoat.
Posy hugged the false tail to her comfortingly.
You're a nice old Uncle Patchcoat.
Beneath his disguise, Mask blushed with pleasure. Fortunata spotted the fallen beech ahead. She leaned against it with a sigh of relief.
Phew, thank the fang, this is the right trail,
she said aloud.
Soon as I get my breath back, I'll give Patchcoat a call. You've done all the calling you're going to do, traitor!
Lady Amber and 10 squirrels dropped from the trees and stood blocking the vixen's path, each with an arrow notched on a drawn bowstring. Instinctively, Fortunata knew her plans had gone badly astray. She cowered down with drooping ears.
It was Patchcoat,
she whined.
I wasn't going to harm the little ones. He forced me to go along with his wicked plans. He said that...
Silence, fox!
Lady Amber dropped her bushy tail flat along the ground. 10 bowstrings strained tighter. The squiddle leader pointed an accusing paw at the trapped spy.
We knew who you were from the moment you entered these woods,
she rasped.
When you left Brock Hall today, I was only a treetop away from you. I heard every word that passed between you and Mask.
Fortunata crouched low, trying to offer as small a target as possible.
No, you've got it wrong. He's Patchcoat the mercenary,
she argued.
I don't know any creature called Mask. Wait, yes I do. There's another fox named Mask. He lives over by Katir, a real evil creature. He is the one you want. I'll take you to him.
Spare me your lies, fox.
Amber's voice was flat and harsh.
You have lived the life of a traitor and earned the reward of treachery. Tell your deceitful tales to whoever meets you at the gates of Dark Forest.
Amber's tail flicked upright like a banner. 10 arrows flew straight and true.
Oh, for the life of a sailor mouse, it's better than Kotir jail. A rest for the weary travelling pause with the wind to drive our sail. There's a shrew for skipper, 2 mice for mates, and a mole for a cabin boy. When we sight Salamander, Strun will shout out loud ahoy.
Mid-afternoon, on the waters of the great South Stream, saw the friends learning to handle the boat that Logalog had named Waterwing. Martin was taking a turn at the tiller under the shrew's guiding paw, while Gonf charged about playfully, trying to air his newfound nautical knowledge.
Keep her downwind, me lads. Steady at the tiller there. Watch your larboard side, Captain Logalog. Bring the helm a point to starboard. Steady as she goes.
Dinny was definitely not cut out for a sailor's life. The young mole lay amidships, clutching his stomach.
Brr, oh, wash ye, Gomphin. This year poor mole be a-dying. Yer, can I go ashore and walk a piece? 'Twould stop me whirl going round.
Logalog produced some herbs for Dinny to chew upon. After a while he felt better, but he kept up a steady stream of comments.
I'd as soon be a girt bird bag flying in his sky than sailing on this year's streamer.
Martin watched the stream carefully. The mountains towered right over them now, blocking out the sky ahead.
Logalog, have you noticed the current? It's very swift here and getting heavier. We're moving along a bit too fast for my liking.
Aye, I've noticed the stream is starting to take a steep downward course, Martin.
The shrew looked worried, yet spoke calmly.
Here, Gonf, let's see you take the sail in and drop the mast. Better lend the paw, Martin and Dinny. I'll take the tiller.
As they worked, the water began to get very choppy. Crested foam heads began appearing around rocks, which stuck up like jagged teeth in the swirling flow. Logalog was stretched to his limit, holding the tiller and manoeuvring Waterwing. The little craft began to buck and tilt. Water was splashing in heavily over the forward end.
Leave the mast!
The shrew's voice boomed out above the roar of the water.
As long as the sail's down, bail it out before we're swamped. Hurry!
Waterwing leapt about like a frenzied salmon. The thunder of the stream rose, echoing from the mouth of a dark tunnel forming overhead. Hanging bushes and vegetation clawed at the small crew, while rocks pounded dangerously at the sides of the boat. Without warning, they were swept deep into the tunnel. The stream became a waterfall. In a mad torrent of boiling white water, they were hurled over the brink of the chasm. Waterwing hung for a second in space, then plunged into the abyss. The mast struck the mountainside. It snapped with a resounding crack and came crashing down onto them. Sarmina stood in her usual position at the high chamber window, Clud waiting dutifully at one side.
Spring vegetables aren't much use, Clud. Find out what the birds like to eat and scatter some of it about. Set some traps and get the archers out. Fat wood pigeons, a juicy thrush or two. That's the sort of thing we need.
Yes, m'lady. I'll see to it right away.
The weasel captain trudged off obediently. Sarmina leaned farther out of the window, scanning the wood fringe.
No, wait!
A strange-looking fox emerged from the undergrowth, tugging two little hedgehogs along on a rope. It was plain to see he was in a hurry. Behind the trio, a band of otters and squirrels came dashing in pursuit. Looking backward at his pursuers, the fox tripped over the rope. The woodlanders dashed forward and pounced upon him. Sarmina shoved Clud to the door.
Quick, quick, get down there and grab the nearest troops. Help the fox, hurry!
The wildcat queen raced back to the window, yelling aloud.
Hold on, fox! We're getting help out to you. Keep hold of those hedgehogs!
The stranger put up what appeared to be a good fight. Unfortunately, he was outnumbered. One group of woodlanders kept him busy defending himself, while several squirrels slashed the rope from the captive hedgehogs, bearing them off into the trees, away into thick wooded moss flower. Late again, Sarmina slammed her paw hard against the windowsill. Down below, Clud and a party of soldiers raced toward the melee. The woodlanders broke off the attack, vanishing like smoke into the undergrowth. Sarmina was standing in the entrance hall as Clud escorted the newcomer in. She peered closely at the odd-looking stranger. Mask panted heavily, slumping down on his haunches.
Ooh, those squirrels and otters fight like mad beasts.
Sarmina circled him.
You didn't do too badly yourself.
There was grudging admiration in her voice.
What's your name? How did you come here?
Mask looked up at the wildcat.
I'm called Patchcoat. You must be Queen Sarmina of the Thousand Eyes. Fortunata told me about you.
So, you've met the vixen. Where is Fortunata now?
Mask shrugged.
Probably lying in the woods full of squirrel arrows. She was too slow to keep up. I could have beaten those woodlanders to here easily if it hadn't been for that great dozy lump.
Stupidly, Clud stepped forward. He prodded the strange fox with his spear.
You still haven't told me, lady, why you're here, fox.
With a deft movement, Mask grabbed the spear, thundered the butt into Clud's midriff, bowled him over, and was standing on his chest with his dagger pressed against the weasel's throat.
Listen, fat guts,
he growled dangerously.
I'll make you eat that spear if you ever poke it at me again. Remember that. My name's Patchcoat the Mercenary. See, I sell my blade to the highest bidder.
Mask stood on Clud's nose with one paw and executed a neat turn to teach the weasel a painful lesson. Without even looking to see the result, he turned to Sarmina.
Ha! You could do with some proper fighters, Queen. Especially if that oaf and Fortunata are a specimen of what you keep around here.
Sarmina showed her great fangs in an approving smile.
Well, at last, a real warrior. Welcome to Katia, Patchcoat. I'm sure you'll do well here. Clud, get up off the floor. And give this fox your captain's cloak to wear. From now on, you'll take orders from him.
Sullenly, Clud undid his cloak, flinging it to Mask. Ashleg stumped in with a band of soldiers. He threw a healer's bag upon the floor.
We tried tracking those woodlanders, milady,
he reported sadly.
But they're well away. I found Fortunata east of here, full of arrows. Her body is out on the parade ground.
Dead?
As a doornail, milady.
Then what do I want with a slain fox?
Sarmina asked impatiently.
Throw it out in the woods for the eagle.
Sarmina started back up the staircase.
Patchcoat, I'll be up in my chamber. Come up later. I'm sure we have plenty to discuss together.
Mask fastened on the cloak of captaincy.
Aye, later, milady. First, I want to inspect these cells Fortunata told me about. Maybe I can discover how two young hedgehogs escaped from them so easily.
Sarmina climbed the stairs pensively. This strange fox was certainly a lucky find.